In October, I get to teach a membership class here that we call What It Means to Be a Lutheran. I'll talk about the ways that we Lutherans interpret Scripture. And 5 weeks from now, this will be the major topic for our next confirmation retreat. There's a teaching that Martin Luther made famous. Let Scripture interpret Scripture. Understanding the Bible, understanding Jesus, isn't always easy. Some parts are confusing, and some parts of Scripture are downright contradictory. The principle, let Scripture interpret Scripture, helps us with this. And for today's gospel reading, we really, really need this principle. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth." Don't think that. But there are other parts of Scripture that say something different. There's the song of the choir of angels the night that Jesus was born. They sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those whom he favors." And don't forget what Jesus said at the Last Supper, "My peace I give you. My peace I leave with you." And after the resurrection, Jesus said to his disciples several times, "Peace be with you." And we say these same words when we gather for weekly worship. So what did Jesus mean when he said he didn't come to bring peace? Well, I think he's saying that the peace that he offers isn't automatic. Jesus didn't come to force his peace upon people. He came to give it. People can reject the peace that Jesus offers us. Jesus is also saying that as disciples, we will not have peace, shalom, 100% of the time. In this reading, he tells us there's a cross to carry. We also heard that Jesus said he came to bring the sword. Now here too, we need to let Scripture interpret Scripture. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when the Apostle Peter drew a sword, cutting the ear off of a servant, Jesus said, "Put away the sword. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword." Jesus knew that his message would bring a sword. Even his followers, his very followers, would bring the sword. And later down in history, his followers would bring violence and war, based on what they thought his message was. But fundamentally, Jesus was opposed to the sword. He said it will happen, but he was opposed to it. When you look at the whole story, salvation history, God's whole story, God's way is a way of peace. God does not want God's children to live in war and violence. We also heard today that Jesus said he came to bring division in families. Father against son, mother against daughter, and so on. Again, let Scripture interpret Scripture. Here, it's very helpful to know that Jesus was quoting the prophet Micah. Those words come directly from the prophet Micah. Jesus was saying to his disciples, "Oh, you want the good old days, do you? Well, let me tell you, the good old days were pretty awful. There was family division. There was intense family conflict in the good old days. In fact, you can go back to the beginning of time. There's always been family conflicts. Think Cain killing his brother Abel. Now, in the days of Jesus and in the days of Matthew the storyteller, they would have known what Micah said after the remarks about division, son against father and daughter against mother. What Micah said after that, the people would have known. I had to look it up. This is what Micah says. As for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. The conclusion of the book of Micah is good news. The conflict, the family conflict that existed in his time would end. It would end in good news. And the life of Jesus is good news. Jesus said there'll be division, but his mission was a mission of unity. He said at the Last Supper that they may be one. His mission was a mission of unity. The mission of Jesus was a mission of peace. Shalom. So when we let Scripture interpret Scripture, we learn that Jesus did come to bring peace on earth. He came to join God's children into a family where war and violence aren't part of our lives. In Christ, being a disciple of Christ means that there is to be no division among people. The will of God is that God's children live in peace, no war, no division, no hatred. That's the will of God. We have a hymn that we'll be singing after the sermon that teaches us clearly, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. As believers, we stand on Christ. When our hearts and our souls are connected to Christ, God's love is our foundation. A direct result of standing on Christ, the solid rock, is that we love our neighbor. A direct result of standing on Christ, the solid rock, means that there is no lifting of the sword for personal gain or for power or for money or for oil. When we stand in Christ, we have God's love. We have a loving family. That's God's will. Fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, and the in-laws live together in love and in peace. That's God's will. The song gets it right. When we stand on Christ, the solid ground, he's our anchor. He's our anchor in times of darkness and in storms and in floods. And he will keep us secure and in peace. Jesus died on the cross that we would have this peace, this shalom. He gave his body and blood for our eternal peace in heaven. So Jesus was being realistic. Though it's God's will that there be peace and love for everyone, realistically, there will be divisions. There will be conflicts, suffering, rejection. There will be struggles with faith. There will be storms. It won't always be easy to do the right thing. It's not always easy to do God's will. Sometimes to find and make that peace feels impossible. But life in Christ has a calling to live a life of peace and love and hope. Charlotte's Web is a children's story about a young pig named Wilbur, who befriends a barn spider named Charlotte. At the end of the story, as Charlotte is dying, this was her message. "I feel peaceful. You will live secure and safe, Wilbur. These autumn days will shorten and grow cold. The leaves will shake loose from the trees and fall. Christmas will come and the snows of winter. You will live to enjoy the beauty of the frozen world. Winter will pass. The days will lengthen. The ice will melt in the pond. The song sparrow will return and sing. The frogs will awake. The warm wind will blow again. All these sights and sounds will be yours. So you can enjoy this lovely world, these precious days." In a way, it's a sad ending. But Charlotte dies peacefully. The author is reminding us that death is part of the cycle of life. The final message is that the sadness of death, as Paul said, leads to resurrection. The sadness of death doesn't get the last word. In the end, as believers, we know that there's peace and there's hope. The love of God never ends. The story echoes the message of Jesus. When we stand on Christ, our solid rock, in the cold, in the snows of winter, in the frozen world, or in the warm wind of spring, beautiful sunny day, the days are precious. When Christ is our solid rock, whatever is happening in our lives, these are precious days. Life isn't always easy for people of faith, for disciples of Jesus. Life isn't always easy for anybody, but life is always precious. Jesus took our most important relationship, family, and is saying to us today, "I want you to be my family. I want you to live as a family of peace and love." When we look at the whole story, Jesus is against the sword. Jesus is against family division. Jesus wants us to live in peace. And so we stand on him, our solid rock. When we live in Christ, every day is a precious day. We can live without swords. And we can have a family that loves. The other day, I was shopping for books online, and I came across a devotional book with the title, "Too Blessed to Be Stressed." I looked at that title, and I said, no. Being blessed doesn't mean that we'll have a life with no stress. Jesus was teaching that as disciples, we will have stress and difficulties. We will have illnesses and struggles. "Take up your cross and follow me," he said. We will have the cross. There will be division. There will be hurt. There will be grief. Being a disciple doesn't mean that stress goes away magically. Being a disciple means that in every stress we have, we are blessed. These are precious days. And we're blessed with strong, loving families. These are precious days when our families are loving and when our churches serve and do good in the world. These days are precious when people of a nation desire to unite together within and with other nations for the well-being of all God's children. In Christ, we are called to recognize that the days are precious and to participate in making the days peaceful and loving. As God makes the days precious, God also makes us precious people. Let us pray. Bring to mind life's sufferings, the storms, the darknesses, the divisions, the suffering that you might be experiencing in these days. And thinking about in these days, in family, in your life, in the nation, in the world. And now listen to the voice of God. Speaking to all of this, God is saying, you, my child, are precious to me. God speaks to everyone. You, my child, are precious to me. God gives this blessing to everyone. You, my child, are precious to me.